guys, welcome to Telling the Told and Untold. My name is Tsiro. Before we go straight into today's case, I do have to give you guys a couple of content warnings. In this video, we do talk about physical and emotional abuse, child neglect, drug use, xenophobia, and suicide. I don't go into any details, but still, if that's not something you think you're interested in watching, then this video probably isn't for you. So maybe you can watch some of my other videos or just wait for my next upload. On the 7th of March 2013, Phoenix Jess Racing Cloud Theron went to the Fishhook police station to report her mother, Rosemary, missing. Phoenix told the police that Rosemary had left with a stranger, a white male with long blonde hair in a silver or white Mercedes, and that her mother hadn't been home in 2 days. Rosemary had 3 children. She had Phoenix, who was the oldest, a son who is currently in South America and he was living with his biological father, as well as a younger daughter, Willow. A month after Rosemary's disappearance, there was a meeting at the Fishhook police station and a ton of people had gathered there. It was her mother Denise, her sister Angelique, as well as some friends and other family members. And they just wanted to know that police were doing everything that they possibly could to find Rosemary and find whoever might have kidnapped her. Because Phoenix said that her mother had gotten into a silver or white Mercedes, some people believe that she might have been snatched by one man or even multiple men. Some people believe that it was orchestrated and she had been kidnapped by someone she knew, maybe an ex-boyfriend or even a new boyfriend, someone she might have been seeing. Others believe that she had been kidnapped by Nigerian men and sold into the sex trade. And it was just a lot of theories and no one really knew what happened to Rosemary. There was also fear that she might have been being held against her will. They also went to a psychic who told them that she had been murdered and her body would be found below Chapman's Peak. And the psychic also said that a guy called Stephen had been involved in her murder, which was a bit of a strange thing to say because she did have a half brother whose name is Stephen. So people were like, oh my gosh, what happened if like her half brother had something to do with it? So people just had a lot of theories, a lot of ideas, you know, about what happened to Rosemary since they couldn't find her. There were other people though who believed that Rosemary lived on her own accord and she just decided to leave and start a new life because she had done that before in the past where she just kind of left her children and just left for a year. But her sister Angelique was adamant that Rosemary would never leave her children. She said that Rosemary, who entertained as a clown, who painted faces and walked on stilts and made children laugh, would never leave her children. And every avenue was explored to try and find Rosemary. And they even held public meetings and they even went to the likes of Pete Bielefeld, who we've spoken about before in like previous videos, as well as Mickey Pistorius, to try and find out if they could help solve Rosemary's disappearance. In late March 2013, Chris Clark, a freelance British journalist who was currently living in Cape Town, received a knock on his door, and when he opened it was a detective. This detective had been pulled into the search for Rosemary after the initial investigation had failed to yield any concrete leads. The story that police had to go on was that Rosemary was last seen getting into a silver or white Mercedes that was driven by a white man. So police officers then started looking at CCTV footage, and this is when they saw a silver Mercedes with a white man in it and someone who looked like Rosemary leaving the general area where she lived only minutes after Phoenix said that she last saw her mother getting into this Mercedes. So they looked at the CCTV footage, they had a registration number or number plate, and they tracked that number plate down and it led them to a rental company. And it turned out that the person who had rented the silver Mercedes was Chris, and that's how the detective ended up at his front door. So the detective asked him if he knew who Rosemary is, and Chris replied that he did know who Rosemary is, and he had only met her once a couple of months earlier in December 2012 when his girlfriend kind of convinced him to give Rosemary a ride home after she had like an event that she was performing at, and that was the only time. However, in the days that followed, it became clear that Chris had nothing to do with Rosemary's disappearance, and the fact that he had met her once before was like a complete coincidence. 4 months after Rosemary's disappearance, her daughter Phoenix, alongside her boyfriend Kyle and Willow, moved to Gordon's Bay, which is about 60 kilometers away from where they stayed in their home in Clovelly, where Rosemary disappeared. And they moved into a flat next to one of their friends, and his name is Godfrey Skierbus. And shortly after completing the move, Phoenix posted a message on Facebook, and she said, "Hey mom, we have moved to a beautiful new home that is so fancy, Willow is blown away every day. She has her own swimming pool and her school is epic. We talk about you every day and pray for you wherever you are. Don't worry about us, we are happy and strong. You'll be happy to know that Willow cleans her room every day on her own accord, and in brackets, she even says please and thank you. And her teachers think she's the loveliest girl in the world. We love you." Then, 7 months after Rosemary disappeared, in September 2013, Godfrey Skierbus walked into the Fishhook police station and told police officers that Rosemary had been murdered and he knew where they could find her body. So, let me tell you guys about Rosemary, Phoenix, Kyle, and just everyone. So Rosemary was described as a bohemian who loved everyone around her. She was also said to be a hippie, and at the time of today's case, she was just 39 years old. As I mentioned earlier, she was a face painter, she was a slit walker, and a clown for Clovelly. And Clovelly is a Cape Town suburb on the other side of the mountain near Fishhook and Noordhoek, and it's described as a very unique community. The people that live in this community are people that are in the entertainment business, just like Rosemary, like slit walkers, clowns, face painters, just things like that. And then in 1994, when Rosemary was 20 years old, she gave birth to a baby girl, and her and her partner at the time, I don't know if they were married or not, his name is Ivan Clausen, but sometimes he goes by Ivan Yever. They gave birth to a baby girl in the back of the caravan that they were living in, and they decided to name her Phoenix Jess Racing Cloud, which is a very interesting name. And so that the reason why she decided to name her daughter Phoenix is because it had to do something with rising from the ashes, almost like a reincarnation. So Phoenix kind of just like rises from the ashes like a new and better person. And the reason why they named her Racing Cloud is because as Rosemary was giving birth, there were thunderstorms like sweeping into the community, so that's why she got the third name, Racing Cloud. Both of Phoenix's parents, Rosemary and Ivan, were described as free spirits, and when Phoenix was just 5 months old, they decided to travel across South Africa selling puppets in a horse-drawn carriage. And only 4 years after Rosemary had given birth to Phoenix, her and Ivan decided to separate. In this community that Rosemary and Phoenix lived in, there were these things known as trance parties, and basically it's when the people in this community have this big party on like this farm kind of that they live on. They take hallucinogenic drugs and it's just like loud music, and they just spend the whole night dancing in this trance like thing, you know, hence trance parties. And the other people in this community also have children, so the children wouldn't be a part of this party, but they would kind of be in charge of like looking after themselves and looking after everyone else. Mind you, when these things were still happening, Phoenix was still very young. She was literally just like 4 years old, 5 years old when all of these things were happening. And she also kind of had to look after herself because her mother was constantly like using and also going to like these parties and things like that. So because they lived in like a caravan, in this community people live like in caravans and tents, but they had like a communal kitchen. So from a very young age, Phoenix learned to go to the kitchen and steal food just so that she could have something in her stomach, you know, which is so sad. When Phoenix was just 5 years old, Rosemary decided to drop her off at her father's house in Cape Town. And as soon as Rosemary dropped Phoenix off, she went straight to the airport, got on a flight, and she flew down to South America. And she lived in Chile for about a year, and in that year Rosemary, or rather Phoenix, stayed with her father. And suddenly a year later, Rosemary decided to come back, and she just picked Phoenix up, took them back to the camp that they stayed in before like nothing ever happened, and she was pregnant. Soon after that, she gave birth to her second child, which was a son. And shortly after that, she got into a new relationship with a guy that also lived on this camp. And together, the two of them started taking drugs together. They would take things like, and yeah, they just did those things in their spare time. And not too long after that, Rosemary fell pregnant again, and she eventually gave birth to her third child, which was a daughter, and she named this daughter Willow. And as soon as she got back from the hospital, she immediately gave Willow to Phoenix, almost like Phoenix should look after her little sister. And mind you, Phoenix was young. Phoenix was literally only 10 years old, and she was in charge of looking after Willow, making sure Willow eats, changing her nappies. She was a child looking after a child. When Phoenix was around 11 years old, her younger brother was 5 and Willow was just 1, they decided to move away from the camp with Rosemary's boyfriend, and they lived with him. And then he became physically abusive. I'm not too sure if he was abusive when they were still living in the camp, or if it only started once they left the camp, but he became physically abusive, and Rosemary decided to leave this home, and they eventually left and ended up in a place of safety. I'm not too sure what they mean by a place of safety, like if it was a home for like, if it was like a shelter for women and children or what was the case, but it just said it was a place of safety. But then this ex-boyfriend of hers followed them to this place of safety, and there he was abusive again. And because of this, they kicked Rosemary and her 3 children out because of domestic abuse. And then after this, they decided to live in Rosemary's car, and they were just constantly moved from one place to another. They lived in this car, they moved into an apartment, at some point they lived in one of their friends' garages. So there was no stability as Phoenix was growing up. They were just like constantly moving, and she was just constantly put in all these different kinds of situations. And it was also during this period where they were constantly moving that Phoenix was sexually abused by one of her father's friends. I'm not too sure when this happened or how long it lasted, but when they moved out again and went to a different place, this is when the abuse stopped, and Rosemary got a job. Rosemary would go to the shop during the day, and when she went to the shop, Phoenix would be in charge of looking after her younger brother and younger sister, and sometimes her mom would take her to her grandmother's house with the 3 kids, or with the 2 kids rather. And once they got to the grandmother's house, one of her grandmother's friends would also sexually abuse Phoenix. And this was all before she was 12 years old. She had been sexually abused twice, and She had constantly moved from one place to another. Then, when Phoenix was 12 years old, Rosemary decided that she did not want to look after her anymore. She said that she had grown tired of looking after Phoenix and said that Phoenix should go live with her father. It's also alleged that Rosemary would tell her children, literally like to their faces, that they had ruined her life and she wished that she didn't have any children. So this is when Phoenix went to go live with her biological father, and she stayed there for a couple of years. And it's also around this time that she started teaching herself. She had been in and out of different primary schools up until grade 3 or grade 4, and when she lived with her father, she just started teaching herself. Mind you, she's literally like 12. She doesn't even know that much to be able to teach herself, but it's kind of like she had her own homeschooling. She had like this own way of making sure that she's constantly learning. A couple of years later, when she was 16 years old, her father decided to enroll her in Knysna High School, and she started grade 10 there. It's said that she was very smart, like she did very well in school, but she was like still 16, she's a teenager, she was curious about a lot of things. She started smoking, she started trying out different, and she would also experiment sexually. She also met a boy who would soon become her boyfriend the following year. They started dating, and if I'm not mistaken, Phoenix was a year or 2 years older than him. And eventually Phoenix did matriculate, and he didn't matriculate. I think he did drop out, but I'm not too sure when he dropped out. So let me tell you guys about Phoenix's boyfriend, and his name is Kyle Maspero. And at the time of today's case, he was 17 years old with short cropped brown hair and tattoos running down the length of his left arm. Just like Phoenix, he also had a very hard upbringing. He was born and grew up near Karatara, which is an old forestry community near Knysna, and he was the last of three children. Soon after he was born, he was virtually abandoned by his father. His father was a violent drunk who would both physically and emotionally abuse his mother. When he was less than a year old, his parents did get a divorce, and his father wholeheartedly believed that Cal was not his son, and this was one of the reasons why he didn't get along with him or didn't even try to get to know him. And this is how their lives would just go on. Kyle didn't have a relationship with his dad. He lived with his mother and his two other siblings. And unfortunately, when he was just 7 years old, his mother suddenly passed away. And after this, he was taken into foster care and lived in different foster homes with different foster families. He had also been in and out of different schools, and each time he was forced to leave because of some disciplinary violation, which was usually related. Whilst he was attending Waldfrieden Primary School in Johannesburg, he had been sent there as a punishment for his part in starting a fire at a neighbor's house. And then he was served with 11 formal disciplinary charge sheets. The school sent him to a child psychiatrist and a family therapist, but to no avail. And when he was in grade 8, he was attending Knysna High School, and he had been caught with hardcore, and then he was expelled. At the time of today's case, he was living with his foster father in Knysna, and this is when he told his foster father that he was moving out. He was going to move to Cleverly with Phoenix and move in with Phoenix's mother, Rosemary. Phoenix and Kyle also managed to get a job at a surf shop, and they used the money that they earned mostly to pay for their drug habits. They worked as surfing instructors for a middle-aged couple who run one of the surfing schools by the beachfront in Meisenberg. And their names are Edward and Liz, and they said that they had known Phoenix since she was about 15 or 16 years old. And when they met her, they said that, you know, she was sweet, she was lovable, she was a compassionate little girl, and they would also call her by her second name, Jess. They don't call her Phoenix. And Phoenix would go over to the surf shop during her school holidays whilst she was in Nice and just spend a lot of her time there. Phoenix would help them by giving lessons and she really enjoyed it. She was also described as someone who was really good with people. And then sometime in 2012, after Phoenix had matriculated high school, she called Edward and Liz and she told them that she wanted to move to Cape Town, but she needed a job and she also needed a job for her boyfriend Kyle. And this was the first time that the couple had ever heard of Kyle's name or that Phoenix was in a relationship. But because they knew who Phoenix was, they kind of didn't like question it much and they allowed her to bring Kyle in so that the two of them could work together. And once they met Kyle, it was just a bit strange. They said that Phoenix had always been someone who was very quiet, like she didn't really talk much, but when Kyle was around it was a bit different. She had always been quiet, but now it was like it was different. Like she was submissive, she was more shy, like just more reserved and not the girl that they had known for the past 2 or 3 years. Despite the reservations that Edward and Liz had, they didn't want to intervene in Phoenix's relationship or say anything. It always looked like she had some issues or maybe like problems at home, but they didn't think it was more than like your average teenager, you know? So they just really didn't think much of it and they just let Kyle and Phoenix work at the surf shop and do what they had to do. If they were customers, they would take the customers down to the beach, give them surfing lessons, and then most of the time they would just spend their times on the beach, just the two of them. And they also said that the two of them just looked really lonely when they just spent time together, you know? They were just like a high school couple. Rosemary did not like Kyle, and her and Phoenix would constantly get into arguments about this, and it led to Phoenix and Kyle deciding to move back in with Kyle's foster father. And then in early 2013, Phoenix found out that she was pregnant, so her and Kyle decided that they would move back in with Rosemary. But Phoenix did have plans on terminating her pregnancy. She didn't want to go through with it, and eventually she did terminate the pregnancy, but they did move back in with Rosemary. When they moved back to Clovelly, Phoenix's younger sister Willow had still never been enrolled in school, and at this point she was around 8 or 9 years old, and it said that she still couldn't talk, and if you try and speak to her, she would literally just like growl at you. So she had zero communication skills, and Phoenix was really upset about this. And this is one of the arguments that her and Rosemary would constantly have, because she wanted Willow to go to school, she wanted Willow to learn how to talk, and she would later describe Willow as almost being like a monkey, like just someone who, if you try to speak to her, she had no communication skills, she had no interpersonal skills, you know, like she'd just growl at you and that's it. And she didn't want that for her younger sister. And when she would talk to her mother Rosemary about this, Rosemary would tell her that like Willow didn't need to go to school or that she couldn't afford it, and they would just really butt heads about this one thing. So because of the fights Phoenix would have with her mother Rosemary about Kyle as well as about her little sister Willow, she kind of grew closer to Kyle, and they were almost inseparable. They did everything together, they lived together, they worked together, they were always in each other's spaces, you know? So they almost became like one, I don't want to say like one person, but they lacked individuality, you know? And her and Rosemary got into another argument at some point, and this is when her and Kyle decided that they were going to move out of the house again. So they left the house and they just moved on top of the mountain. I think it was still in Clovelly, or Clovelly rather, and they lived in a tent, but they literally got robbed of all of their belongings and all the money that they had earned from the surf shop. So because of this, they ran back to Rosemary's house and they just begged her to let them move back in with her, and she agreed. On the 7th of March 2013, the day started off like it usually did, with Phoenix and Cal waking up. They made some breakfast, they smoked some marijuana, we're gonna call it Mary Jane. They smoked some Mary Jane, and after this, they started cleaning up the kitchen. And at this point, Rosemary was still asleep, but because of all the noise that they were making cleaning up the kitchen, she woke up and she told him, like, you guys are making noise, I'm trying to sleep. And this is when Cal told her that he was just cleaning up the kitchen, and Rosemary told him to leave the kitchen alone, like, just leave it dirty, because it was going to get dirty again, so there was no point. And Cal said that after this, he would go in and out of the bathroom, and this is where he would smoke. He did this about 5 or 6 times. So he would go to the bathroom, smoke some, come out, continue with whatever he was doing, go back into the bathroom, smoke some, come out, you know, just like that, about 5 or 6 times. Then later that day, Phoenix and Cal decided to talk to Rosemary again about wanting Willow to go to school and wanting Willow to get an education. And this led to them having an argument, and eventually this argument ended. Cal and Phoenix went to their job at the surf shop, and eventually they got back home. And once they got home, they found Rosemary there, and this is when sources say different things. Some sources say that Rosemary was sitting with a boyfriend, other sources say it was a new boyfriend, other sources say that it was a longtime friend of hers that she had known for almost 2 decades. So I don't know how you can confuse the two, like how you can confuse an old friend and like a boyfriend, you know, like. But anyways, the point is Rosemary was there with a friend or a boyfriend, and once the pair got home, she asked them to look after Willow for a while because she was going out. Some sources say that she was going out for drinks, other sources say that she had a casting, but the point is she was leaving the house and she wanted Kyle and Phoenix to look after Willow, and the two of them were upset because they didn't want to look after Willow that night, and you know, they just felt like this woman has given them all of these chores or like responsibility. So they had a fight about that, and this is when the friend or boyfriend came in and kind of told them to like just to stop fighting and asked them to look after Willow for just a couple of hours, and eventually they agreed. So Rosemary left the house, and then it was Phoenix and Cal who were left. Then Phoenix and Cal decided to smoke some more Mary Jane, and Cal was still very riled up about the argument that they had just had with Rosemary, and he was so upset, and he kept saying that Rosemary didn't know him and that he would tie her hands and feet and throw her into the bushes. And this is when Phoenix told him that he would get caught. But it's not like she was opposed to the idea of him tying her mother's hands and feet and throwing her into the bushes. It was kind of like, I hear you, but you know, we're going to get caught. This is when Cal went on and he blamed Rosemary and said that if Rosemary wasn't in the picture, that he and Phoenix would have, like, you know, they would have some more freedom and that they would be able to take care of Willow better than Rosemary takes care of her now. And this was kind of when like the seed was planted. Then later that evening, they put Willow to bed, and once Willow was asleep, this is when Phoenix and Kyle started planning Rosemary's murder. Rosemary got home later that evening, and once she walked through the door, Phoenix immediately went to her, gave her a big hug, and just apologized, like, Mom, I'm so sorry that we got into an argument earlier, I'm so sorry about upsetting you. And this was planned because as she was hugging Rosemary, Cal came out from the back with a rope and he started strangling Rosemary. Phoenix told him that he had to strangle Rosemary for about 4 minutes and then she would definitely be dead. And then she told Cal to pull Rosemary into one of the bedrooms and lie her on the bed. So he did this, but as he was doing this, he was still choking Rosemary. So he pulled her to the bed, still choking her, laid her on the bed and was still choking her. And Cal said that Phoenix was holding Rosemary down so that like she wouldn't be able to fight back, but Phoenix said that she didn't do this. But either way, they were still choking Rosemary, and they said that they couldn't look at her as she was doing this, so they both kind of just looked away for a couple of minutes until they decided that, you know what, I think it's enough, and they thought that she was dead. And when they looked at her, there was blood coming out of her ears. So Cal took the rope off of Rosemary's neck, and this is when she let out like a loud sigh, like, and this really frightened Cal. Like, he jumped and he was just so scared, and Phoenix told him to calm down and just told him that she was dead, and it was just like leftover air kind of that just came out after they let go of the rope. Phoenix then suggested that they bury Rosemary, so they wrapped her body in refuse bags and carried her body outside, and this is where they covered it with a top. Phoenix didn't want her mother's body being so close to the house, so she then asked Cal to bury her somewhere else. 2 days later, Kyle took Rosemary's body and buried her in a vault, which was still relatively close to the house that they lived in, but it was like close to the house, but not close to the house, if I'm making sense. And this is where he dug a fairly deep grave and buried Rosemary's body there. And it was that same day that one of Rosemary's friends came over to the house and asked where Rosemary was, because they had some plans and she hadn't been able to get in contact with Rosemary. And this is when Phoenix told her that her mother had gotten into a silver Mercedes with a white man that she didn't know, and that's the last time that she saw her. And her friend, or Rosemary's friend, convinced Phoenix to go to the police station to report her mother missing, and the friend said that she would go with Phoenix. So this is when the two of them went to the Fishhook police station to report Rosemary missing. Cal and Phoenix then continued with their lives like nothing had happened, like they didn't just murder Rosemary. And Phoenix would also post on social media that her mother told her that when she turns 18, she was going to immigrate to France and become a mime, and she wanted to spread her wings and follow her dreams. She also posted on her mother's Facebook page that they didn't know where Rosemary was, but it wasn't unusual for Rosemary to just kind of disappear and not let anyone know where she was. She also asked people for food donations and things like that. A few months later, Kyle and Phoenix decided to move to Gordon's Bay, and this is where we started the beginning of this video with Gordon Skippers. So they moved to Gordon's Bay, and there was this one night where Kyle went to Gordon and he kind of just told him everything. He told Gordon how they had murdered Rosemary, why they murdered her, where they buried her. And at this point, Kyle was very paranoid and he wanted Gordon's help. He basically just told Gordon that he was scared that someone was going to find Rosemary's body and that he needed help moving her body. And for some reason, Gordon agreed. So this is when they went back to the vault where Kyle had buried Rosemary's body, and they dug her up. And at this point, she was fairly decomposed, and they put her body into the car, and Gordon said that he was so terrified, like his heart was beating so fast, he was scared that they might be pulled over. And then they got to the side of the road in Strandfontein, and this is when they just threw her body out. 2 months would go by, and in those 2 months, Gordon was so terrified, he was paranoid, he couldn't sleep, he just couldn't stop thinking about what he had done and how he had helped Kyle move Rosemary's body, and he just couldn't do it anymore. He just couldn't keep it a secret, so he decided to go to Fishhook police station and tell the police officer what he knew. So he got to the police station and he told them that he knew that Rosemary had been murdered and he knew where her body was, and told the police officer what Kyle had told him, like the full confession that Kyle had given him. And at this point, the officer was a bit skeptical, like didn't believe Gordon, and he was like, okay, like take me to Rosemary's body. So they got into the car and Gordon directed them to Rosemary's body, and it was literally 500 meters away from the police station. And they got there, and this is how they discovered Rosemary's body. And immediately after this, Gordon was arrested, and they went to go arrest Phoenix and Kyle. Guys, I just realized that I kept calling this man Gordon when his name is actually Godfrey. So I'm so sorry about that. It's Godfrey Skippers. So I'm going to start calling him Godfrey. So I'm so sorry about that. So when you hear Gordon, just imagine got free. Yeah. So once Phoenix and Kyle were arrested, Phoenix immediately gave a full confession. So with Phoenix's confession as well as Godfrey's confession, police started looking for evidence to kind of corroborate their stories. And after this, Godfrey was released on bail, and his bail was literally 500 rand. Phoenix and Kyle did not apply for bail, but a couple of months after that, Kyle did apply for bail. He did get bail, but he was put on house arrest. Before Kyle's case could continue, he was taken for a psychiatric evaluation for 30 days, and this is because he claimed he did not remember anything. He did not remember the murder. He didn't remember what happened that day, and he blamed this on all the drugs he used, especially that day where he said that he was in and out of the bathroom smoking, and how he had smoked Mary Jane multiple times that day too. So he was like, that's why he didn't remember. And they were like, okay, that's fair enough, but just because you don't remember committing the murder doesn't mean that he won't be held accountable, because he willingly took those drugs knowing the side effects, you know. So that's what the defense was kind of saying. But anyways, he went in for the psychiatric evaluation, and after 30 days he was released, and they found him accountable for Rosemary's murder. Eventually both Phoenix and Kyle pleaded guilty, which is also a bit sus, because this man had claimed that he didn't remember what happened that day, he didn't remember like killing Rosemary and all of those details. But then he pleaded guilty, and after that he gave them the whole story about what happened that day. So, you know, it was just a bit weird. But anyways, they both pleaded guilty, and Godfrey Skiapas was not charged because he was going to be a state witness. The state also spoke to his friend, to Rosemary's friends and family, just to kind of hear what they thought about Godfrey being a state witness and not being charged with helping move Rosemary's body. And her family were okay with it, and they really believed that if Godfrey hadn't gone to the Fishhook police station to go tell them about what he knew, that they wouldn't have found Rosemary and they wouldn't have known what happened to her. So because Kyle and Phoenix had both given a full confession about what happened that day, and you know, the days after that, police had all of this information. And what was very interesting about their confessions or their stories was that they were literally exactly the same. The details about what happened during the day, what happened afterwards, how the murder was committed, the initial plan that they were going to use a shovel, but then Phoenix decided that a shovel was too cruel, like, for them to murder her mom like that, and then Kyle suggested that they use a rope instead. Literally the smallest details were exactly the same, but there was one thing that wasn't the same, and that was who decided that they should murder Rosemary. Like, who brought it up first? Like, she blamed him, but he blamed her. So that was like the only thing that wasn't the same in their stories, but everything else was exactly the same. There's also footage of Kyle and Phoenix during the trial, and at this point, even though they were both blaming each other, they were still together, and you can see them like walking down the stairs in court holding hands. And once they get down to the door is locked, and then they turn around and Kyle kisses Phoenix on her forehead. And it's just so strange, because you're literally on trial for the murder of your girlfriend's mom, and you're on trial for murdering your mom. So it was just a bit strange and odd. But eventually both of them were found guilty. Phoenix Theron was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment, but 5 years were suspended, so she'll be out in 2030 when she's 34 years old. Kyle was sentenced to 18 years imprisonment, of which 5 years were suspended, so he'll be out in 2028 when he is just 31 years old. I don't know if they're still together or not, but I think we can assume that they're not together anymore. But yeah, there was a lot of controversy about their short prison sentences, and the prosecutor just basically said that both of them had a tough childhood growing up, and you know, all these mitigating factors, and that's why their sentences were so, or are so short. And yeah.